Welcome back, everybody. Second week of Big Brother and the second week of our Big Brother podcast. Reed Kerr here, along with Kimberly Kerr.
Hello.
Thank you. And now we are 2 weeks in, and I'm pretty much sick of everybody.
That's not a good sign.
It's not that I don't want to watch. It's just that the people that I already know on the show, I've come to detest. So
yeah.
This week, yet again, second week, one of the returning players won the head of household.
Right.
This time it was Jordan.
Yeah, we haven't been here since the eviction last week. So
right.
Let's just say, woohoo, Keith got evicted.
Yes, we picked it right. Keith was more dangerous.
It was pretty amusing, actually, when he got evicted, because he didn't give the Justin jaw drop, but he was surprised.
He was pretty surprised.
And embarrassed when he went outside to meet Julie. I mean, you could just tell he just felt like an idiot.
With good reason, yes.
Yeah. I mean, and he said, you know, obviously you should have played things differently, which is now very astute of him, you know, getting voted out the very first week.
Because when you're at the first week, you don't get the jury call back. Yeah. You don't go to the safe house.
I think you just go home.
People don't even notice you. I mean, nobody cares. If you go out the first week, you talk to Julie on your way out the door. I'm not even sure if they talk to you on that CBS morning show crap. They just like, oh, well, what was it like in that house for?
I don't think anyone's invested in the people in the beginning, so they don't really care what they have to say.
6 to 7 weeks in. On the opening of the show, when it shows certain guests walking through, you already can't remember.
Yeah.
What was that? Mm-hmm. Was that the gay cowboy? Who were those guys? I've already forgotten some of them. So Keith got voted out. Jordan wins a putting contest.
Yeah, and you know, Rachel got to select the order in which they putted.
Oh, okay.
Did you realize that? She did, and she picked Dominic first. I thought that was a pretty good idea, you know, to pick him first, because you know, he didn't really have a feel for how hard to hit it or anything after watching anyone else. So, but he did get it in. What do you got, like a six or something like that? And then pretty much everybody else knocked it in the water, except for who was the person that tied him? There's one in the same little slot.
Was it Kalia?
I can't remember. It didn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
So, ended it up, Jordan hit it. She hit it into a three. And then Brendan and Jeff were up after her. And they both
threw it.
Basically. Yeah, they threw it so she would win it.
Right. So she's head of household. And they go into, you got to pick your, for the
thank
second.
Thank God the air conditioner's coming back on.
Enough about Texas. Thank you. Now they have to pick who goes up. And the choices they're making are rather demented. I mean, I don't know.
Well, first of all, after the eviction,
right.
You know, all of the newbies voted Portia out.
Mm-hmm.
All of the veterans, plus Shelley and Kalia, voted Keith out. So, of course, Keith went out.
Didn't Big Metalhead Dude also vote Keith out?
No.
He didn't?
No.
He
did. There were only two of them
that
voted that voted Keith out. So that was kind of like the big controversy between all of them, is figuring out who did it. And they suspect Adam, because Adam was kind of dumb enough to let them know that he had told Dick that he would do whatever they wanted.
Right.
And but of course, at the same time, they're all like, why did you tell him that? And he was like, what was I going to say? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean he was really going to follow through. But they started suspecting him, and at that point, Dominic, you know, decided he couldn't trust his partner, and he was playing on his own now and all that. But, like, Rachel came into the have-not room, where they all seem to hang out all the time.
It looks like a mental ward in there.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
that's
the
why she
padded walls.
She feels at home.
Yeah, they all feel at home. And she said, you know, she was being nice, I guess, or, you know, Rachel's version of nice. And, you know, something about that she acted like that they didn't realize that they wanted Portia to go home or something like that, and they made the comment like our side or whatever, and Rachel's like, oh, I didn't realize that there were sides, you know, like she didn't acting like she didn't realize that there were alliances. And then Cassie said something about, well, you know, just the way we all felt about Portia. And Rachel's like, I like Portia. And so she's here for the next 4 weeks, and walked out of the room. So she decided at that point, that she didn't like Cassie anymore. Mm-hmm. So that became her mission, is to get Cassie out of the house. So whenever it came time for Jordan to nominate two people, she was actually kind of campaigning for Cassie and Shelley to go up.
Right.
Jeff and Jordan felt like that Dominic is a bigger threat because they feel like that he's kind of organizing people in the house.
Cassie is, I don't know what she's good at. She is attractive in some ways, which is probably another thing that she hates.
Oh, absolutely.
But she hasn't shown herself to be smart or athletic.
No, she hasn't done anything. I mean, she
could lead you to believe she could be a power in this game.
Right.
Dominic has shown himself to be a weasel. He's a guy who can make things happen. And Big Brother fans know, I mean weasel in the good sense of a guy that can get things going. That can make things happen. He's not a floater. He's a mover.
But from some of the things that I've read, Cassie actually is kind of playing the game. You know, obviously she
didn't say she was a model, right?
Right. And she's kind of been, you know, trying to get in good with Jeff and Jordan, which they like her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she is playing the game. I don't really see her really necessarily as a floater. No, she's not winning competitions and things like that. But, you know, obviously you can get all the way through and win without winning anything, as Jordan did, you know, a couple years ago. But yeah, Rachel, and I really do think a lot of it's just jealousy on Rachel's part.
Rachel's not a smart player. And remember, she went out in the round of 9 when she was in it.
She's she's a little bit less abrasive in some ways than she was last season, I don't think she learned a lot. Mm-hmm. She still definitely alienates
she's
people.
Learned nothing okay, for example, Jesse, the body, when he came back in, was it last year? He was a lot smarter in terms of gameplay than he was the first time. You know, he lasted a lot longer his second time in the house than he did his first time, because he came in and he did his poses and he made his jokes and all that, and then he set about being quiet. He did not make himself a target like he did the first time. Rachel has come back and is even louder and dumber. You know, we just finished watching the Wednesday night episode, and Rachel calling out Jordan when she was HOH and not playing to win the veto.
Well, we were going to get to that, to the veto competition.
I don't have any notes. I don't know where we're going, so I'm just yelling stuff out. You know, Rachel's not.
It's not smart. You know, Rachel and Brendan had decided that they wanted to win the power veto, and they were going to use it, whether Jeff and Jordan wanted them to or not, because Rachel is, you know, hell-bent on getting Cassie and Shelley up. Jeff and Jordan wanted to win it because I think they wanted things to stay the same. Adam and Dominic wanted to win it. Adam told him that he would not try to win it because he was going to take their word for it that they were going to try to get Dominic out of there. Yeah. Although, I don't really understand how they can promise these people that when they're, you know, they don't have the majority of votes in the house.
No. And, you know, Keith in the first round, remember, he didn't play for the POV very hard because he thought he was going to stay. It's always better to have it and use it than to not win it.
And, you know, Adam did say that afterwards, after Dominic won. He was like, you know, this worked out perfectly for me because I didn't have to go, you know, against my word. I kept my word. I didn't win it. And Dominic won it for both of us and got us off the block.
Right.
But that
comes back to another thing there. The POV, you know, Jordan is playing, falls off, and she has the option to go with a 2-week slot pass and get back on. She doesn't, because the POV doesn't mean anything to her, because she's got a house full of people she can vote
on. I don't really think that was it. I think she did think about it, and Jeff told her not to.
Right.
Because first of all, she sucked
so far
on the
behind.
She was behind. Right. She sucked on the balance beam, and he probably knew she was just going to fall right back off.
Right. Like Rachel did.
Which is exactly what Rachel did. Right. Now, Rachel, you know, I mean, and what she says is that she doesn't know how to not try to win. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I guess, but she had her own agenda. It wasn't really like she was doing it for the whole team. She was really doing that for her and Brendan, because they had decided they wanted to win so they could put, you know, get Cassie and Shelley up. But so Rachel made this snide little comment, you know, when Jordan didn't take the slot pass. And it pissed Jeff off. So Jeff didn't say anything about it at the time since they were walking on a balance beam. Right. But right afterwards, you know, when it was finished, he told her, you know, that he didn't like her comment and all that. And she tried to defend herself, but it was a stupid thing to do. And it's definitely a stupid thing to do in front of, you know, the other people in the house to show little cracks in their alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well,
I mean, Rachel majors in stupid things.
Yeah. And, you know, Brendan, apparently, you know, last week I made the comment that I really felt like that Brendan was way more into Rachel than she was into him.
Yeah.
I've changed my mind on that. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of things on the feeds and listened to other podcasts. And apparently Rachel, I mean, Brendan really kind of treats Rachel like crap. And really,
good for him.
Well, and he really does call her out on being stupid and going out and talking to other people and all of that. Because,
well, you have a lifetime to make a romance. You have one chance to win another $500,000.
And speaking of that, apparently in this past year, since they've been out of the house, I think there must have been some type of incident where Brendan cheated on her, possibly, because from what I've, you know, read, there's something they were referring to as Penisgate, that anytime she starts to mention anything at all about it, he totally shuts her down. And I think it's even threatened to break up with her if she mentions it. So
he probably cheated on her with some mute chick, just for a little peace and quiet. I cannot imagine the carnal noises that she makes. It's probably not good.
Yeah,
it reminds me of Kim Cattrall and Porky's. That's all I can really tell you. But,
well, her laugh is just horrible.
Here's the thing: we knew coming into this we were going to have six contestants we'd heard of, and one of them's gone. Evil Dick's gone. Danielle is now finally showing up and doing things. The other four, the first 2 weeks of the show have kind of been based around them because they've held the power. And I don't know if CBS was planning on showcasing them a lot anyway because we're more familiar with them, or if it's just because they've held the head of household and been in charge. But it's really reminding me that I don't really like those people. Rachel is just, she's just awful. She's just a big steaming pile of awful. Brendan seems a little bit smarter than I remember him, but I still don't care a whole lot for him. Jeff is dumb. And Jordan is somewhat the same.
Jeff is dumb. And, you know, I think I liked him the season that they were on there. I mean, I like Jeff and Jordan. There's been a few things that I've heard.
Because, you know, if we were at a party, we would kick their ass at Trivial Pursuit. Well, it came down to just me and you against the two of them.
My nephew could kick their ass at Trivial Pursuit. They're like, just dumber than hell.
I think the answer is bread. No, it's Transylvania. Thank you. Yes.
But Jeff has also revealed himself to be a bit of a homophobe, I believe.
Yeah, he did have the Dumbledore.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were actually some news articles about that, too. But they definitely did not show it on the edited show. But on the feeds, it wasn't on Big Brother After Dark either. Mm-hmm. On the feeds.
No, you make homophobic or racist comments or anything like that, they won't show up anywhere. They'll show up on YouTube.
And it's about, I mean, because, of course, you know, CBS takes a little bit of heat about that. Right. But apparently there was a conversation about Harry Potter, and someone had mentioned that Dumbledore, that J.K. Rowling had revealed like a year or so ago, that the Dumbledore character, she intended to be gay. Now, I've read all of the Harry Potter books, and there's nothing, it's never mentioned. I mean, there's never really any reference to it at all. It's just, I guess in her mind, he was gay. Mm-hmm. So Jeff jumps like all over that and is just like, well, that's wrong. You know, you shouldn't have him, you know, out there with kids. And so Kalia, who, as you mentioned earlier this evening, we don't ever hear anything from.
Kalia, no. She's vanished. She's not even there.
She kind of, you know, takes offense to that. And she's just like, what do you mean? She's like, I think you're confusing homosexuals and pedophiles. Why can't he be around kids? And I mean, he's just like, and she's like, you know, my sister's gay. And he's like, I don't give a shit if your sister's gay. I mean, he really gets irate about it and tells her that if, you know, to stop being so damn PC, if they weren't on a TV show, that she wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, yes, I would, because that's the way that I feel or whatever. Anyway, it started a big argument, and he apparently apologized to her later, but I don't think that was on the feeds anywhere. But
Jeff might have been touched by a Texas League baseball coach at some point in his lifetime. You never know.
What kind of retarded comment is that, though?
I try not to get into arguments about fictional characters. That's just something I found my life goes a lot smoother if I don't do that. But he's shown himself to be.
You mean kind of like when Dan Quayle, the whole Murphy Brown thing?
Exactly. Yeah.
She's a bad role model.
Yeah. It's because she's imaginary. Yeah, exactly. Lucy Van Pelt is also a real role model. She's a bitch. You know, when you set up your psychiatric booths, kids, don't model them after her. No. Deal with the real world. Yeah.
And do you remember Reagan from last season? Yes. He was on the show with Brendan and Brooke.
Reagan was the designated gay dude in a V-neck t-shirt.
Yes, he was. But he hated Rachel with a passion and was very vocal about it. Do you remember some of the things that he said to her? Yeah. He told her that she was really fake, that she had fake hair and fake boobs and blah, 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 and that the only thing that real about her was the pimples on her chin. I mean, he really, really did not like her. But anyway, he apparently released a statement. Of course, this is about Jeff, not Brendan. But he released a statement just kind of saying that he didn't really think Jeff was homophobic or whatever. He thought that he was just dumb.
There's a difference.
That he didn't think that he was malicious or whatever, but,
Okay, well, that brings me to something else. He had this argument with Kalia. I pointed out earlier that it seems like the people we are already familiar with.
I think your voice just cracked. Are you going through puberty?
Yes, exactly. I'm getting hair even farther down there. Yes, thank you for noticing.
Ew.
That the returning cast members, the returning house guests, we've seen much more of them in the first 2 weeks than we have the newbies, because they've been in power. Now, part of that leads us to, I don't even know who some of these people are. Kalia?
As we sit down tonight, you're like, I don't have the names of these people written down. I'm like, you don't know their names by now?
I said, no, Kalia. If this were Gilligan's Island, Kalia would be mentioned, and the rest, because she's not. The only thing I know about her is in 2 weeks, she almost got crushed to death doing that bug contest.
Oh, my God, that was horrible.
It really was bad. Did they never run those drills? Up and
was that their have not contest this week? Yeah.
To make sure nobody's going to get hurt.
She's just a big baby. First of all, Lawan, or whatever his name is, looks like he weighs about 120 pounds. I mean, he's not a big guy.
Yeah.
And, they were playing together, and she laid in that little tube and acted like, no, don't touch me. I mean, she was dying. They ended up cutting them out of that suit. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with her.
Physical competitions ain't for everybody. I mean, it could have been worse. She could have been paired with, Adam. Adam and Dominic doing that. Adam is, 8 inches taller and 40 pounds heavier. There could have been some entry there as they were going through the tunnel. With her, I didn't see quite so much of that. Well, but that's the only thing that stands out to her about her in the first 2 weeks.
That she's a big baby.
That she got hurt in that competition.
On the Hamster Time message board that I read, they call her Fopra.
Yeah, nice. Not as good as Amber, but very good.
They call Brendan Brindouche.
Brindouche, yes. Kalia is that way, and Cassie's partner.
Shelley.
Tarp, yes. She is...
I'm not saying that I don't like Shelley, but I really wanted to like her because she's our age.
Yeah, and,
there's not many people in the house that are, over the age of 23. But she, and she did kind of align herself with the veterans. Right. She voted, the way they wanted her to last week. But yeah, she looks like she's had a really hard life. She spent a lot of time outdoors.
She reminds me of a Jan Hooks character, really. What do you do for a living, ma'am? I am a barfly. She looks real. The picture that you showed me, somebody had posted with the caption "Rode Hard."
Yeah.
On it. She's one of those women that doesn't seem to have enough skin left. Everything she has either been tucked or tanned to where it's really tight against her face.
Well, she's just. Obviously.
She works outside all day staring at the sun. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And then right under that picture that you saw, there was a picture of Jordan laying out in the sun, and she had a big floppy hat like over her face, and it said, you know, maybe Shelly needs to take some tips from Jordan, because you can tell, like, even in like Jordan's diary room sessions, her face is very white.
Yeah.
Which is smart. You should never tan your face, boys and girls. And I work at a dermatology clinic, and I definitely know the dangers of that. But yeah, she looks like she spent a lot of time outdoors. It's not doing her any favors, and high definition is definitely not doing her any favors.
No, that's why I got out of TV before the high def craze hit. I don't want people poking around at my moles. Okay, so the veto competition comes up, and certain people don't even really want to win it. I think Adam realized that sort of a big, oddly shaped dude running back and forth across a pole probably wasn't going to work, so he just sort of took it slow.
He cracked me up because he was just like, yeah. Adam makes the statement, you know, I don't have very good balance. He's like, I know I look like I, you know, a lot of people think I ride a Harley, and he goes, the only time I ride a Harley is when I'm riding bitch.
Yeah.
I found that really amusing to think of him riding on the back of a motorcycle with some other big burly dude in front of him.
Sounds like a bear convention.
Yeah.
You're looking for. So, anyway, Dominic wins it, and Dominic reacts like he just won the dance contest in Saturday Night Fever.
Well, I think he knew that his ass was out the door.
Yeah, so he wins it, and then you have that will they or won't they moment, which if you've already read for the feeds, you know doesn't happen. But it's like, hey, you know, they could.
Well, and of course, you know, in the show tonight, they
play it up.
Yeah, they definitely, anytime, probably the one or two times that Jeff and Jordan even mentioned putting Brendan and Rachel up, that was on tonight's show, which in some ways, I can see that it would have been a smart move, because they would have had no choice. They would have been broken up at that point. You know, there's no saving them. And probably Rachel would have been the one to go, because I think everybody dislikes her the most.
I don't know. See, I disagree with you, as usual, on everything. But if you send them home now, you break up your alliance, and there's still a long way to go on the show. Mm-hmm. And if you lose that alliance right now, then do you have enough people who will align with you, or are you the next target of the newbies?
I agree.
If you put them up, one of them stays, and one of them stays for the next 3 weeks. And you can't count on them voting out either one of them. Some, you know, they might vote out Rachel because she's more annoying, but it's really more, I would be more likely to vote out Brendan because he's usually better at the challenges.
Not really.
Well, he stayed alive longer than she did last time. He outlasted her a couple of weeks.
Right, but I think that's only because she was so hated.
She was hated, but
she's actually usually pretty good at the competitions. I thought he was the one that usually...
What did she win the first week? What was
she was hanging on the banana.
Yeah, banana hanging. So that's a very necessary skill.
And then they won the veto, but that was the combination thing. Wasn't that when they had to put the little veto puzzle together?
Yes. And nobody else really was trying. That was the other thing.
That was pretty funny.
Everyone else was throwing competition. So do you have that moment, will they or won't they? And I agree with you. They just played it. They took like two or three times that they mentioned it over the course of 3 or 4 days. And showed us those. I don't think that was ever happening. Because I think also Jeff and Jordan know that Brendan and Rachel are probably, even though it doesn't make sense, they're probably bigger targets because they have louder mouths. And I would trust Brendan and Rachel less than I would trust Jeff and Jordan.
Yeah, Jeff and Jordan seem to be like the sweet couple. Yeah. And they're likable. And they don't really get in people's faces. And other than being homophobic. you know, I don't think... Nothing really stands out from their season that they were like big backstabbers or anything.
Which is in a way is weird. Because Jordan won.
Right.
You know, Rachel didn't get close. Brendan didn't get close. And Jordan actually won the thing. But you don't think of them that way.
Mm-hmm.
You think of them as just, oh, they're nice people. They wouldn't backstab us.
Right. Yeah, but I agree.
Didn't Jeff actually pull off the biggest backstab in Big Brother history?
Oh, was that when he got, was it Jesse? Or who did
the
he get out?
The coup d'etat, the coup d'etat, as he called it. The coup d'etater, what the, yeah. Good times. But that sealed his own
fate. Jeff made the comment tonight, she's walking a thin rope.
Yeah, Jeff says at least one thing an episode. We look at each other and we go, that's not the right way to say that. Was that? Mm-hmm. No, okay, yeah.
He's not real smart.
So anyway, they tease us with Brendan and Rachel going home, going up on the block, and they don't. And they go back, and it is Cassie and Tarp Girl going up.
Why? You're saying her face looks like a tarp?
Yes. Like, it's like if you left a boat in your backyard and you covered it up for about 11 years. So in the end, even though they tease us with Brendan and Rachel, we wind up with Cassie and the tarp going up, which is exactly what Brendan and Rachel wanted. They schemed for all this, and they actually get it. So maybe they do know something that's going on.
I was actually kind of surprised. I wondered how they talked Jeff and Jordan into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to stick with your alliance.
Yeah, I know.
And who else would you take out at that point?
Well, you're right. I mean, there's no one else. I mean, there's the only other duo they could have put up was LaJuan and Kaylee or whatever her name is.
Kalia. And the rest. Exactly. See? Yeah, so they didn't have that many options as to whatever else to do. So might as well keep your alliance happy. This isn't the first month of the show is not a time to break alliances. It's a time to set things up and survive. Because if you got to survive at least until the jury house. You know, you right. got to survive the first month at the very least to get close.
One thing, too, that I was surprised that they didn't show on tonight's show, and I guess it could possibly be on tomorrow night's show, because I'm not sure if it was before or after the POV ceremony where they put Cassie and Shelly up, but Rachel and Cassie had a little conversation on Sunday, and apparently it did not go well. Cassie asked Rachel if she could talk to her, and Rachel said, you know, that she could. So
you may speak.
Nice. You may speak. That's right. Bark like a dog. Sorry, a little Coming to America there. Okay.
Bark like a dog always takes me back to Bill Murray and Caddyshack. Bark like a dog for me is green.
Mean. So Cassie you're knows. Mean. Stop it.
Either are you, Mrs. Green. I'm sorry. Go ahead. The genius of Bill Murray. I'm sorry. We've watched Wild Things and Zombieland in the past 2 weeks. I'm awash.
I loved his cameo in Zombieland.
It was great. Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. So anyway, Cassie knows that, you know, between her and Shelly that she's the target.
Right.
So she wants to talk to Rachel because she obviously realizes this is coming from Rachel. So she kind of asked her, you know, what's your problem with me exactly? And, you know, is there something that I've done to cause you to act that way? Rachel tells her she's nice and she's sweet, but the way that Cassie treated Portia offended Rachel. I don't know. And I guess that it's just about the comment that she made about that they wanted Portia out. I don't really see what's all that likable about Portia. None of them really seem to care for
her. She's there for a month now, but Portia's another one, except for her being on the block the first week. I got no read on her whatsoever.
So Cassie tells her, you know, that she's talked to Portia and, you know, she doesn't have any reason not to like her. But, you know, is that really a valid reason to send her home?
Yeah.
Because she may or may not like Portia.
Yeah. So,
you know, Rachel tells her no. And the reason's because Cassie ran around the house campaigning for Brendan and Rachel, Jeff and Jordan or Danielle to be put on the block. Now, I don't know when that would be, considering that the only heads of household have been...
Yeah.
The veterans. I mean, she could have said, you know, if one of us, but that makes sense. Of course, it's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, it's obvious. It's the veterans against the newbies. Rachel's such a hypocrite. But anyway.
Well, you say hypocrite. I just say idiot.
She is an idiot.
There's enough gamesmanship in Big Brother without bringing in the junior high girl aspect of it. You know, there's enough. You should be able to approach everything from a mental level of, whatever happens in the house, happens in the house. And whatever's best for me to survive another week in the house, I'm going to do. You shouldn't be voting out somebody because she's prettier than you are. You
know? Well, she would never admit that.
No.
But, you know, they continue talking and everything about it. And Cassie tells her, you know, that she had a deal with Brendan and Rachel, which she did at one time. I mean, she did talk to them. And so Rachel accuses her of... you know, only talking to Jordan after Jordan wins head of household and all that. And she tells Cassie that she's not honest, that she runs around, you know, like I said, trying to campaign against them. And that she doesn't think Cassie has very good gameplay and that she goes around the house complaining all the time, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cassie tells her that she's like, what am I, 12? Yeah. You know? So then, Cassie tells Rachel that she thinks that she wants her gone because she's a girl, basically.
Yeah, I can see
that. Which is pretty much right. The truth. So,
okay, so we're down to Cassie and Shelley the Tarp as on the block, right?
Right.
Okay. Who goes? Is there any way that Cassie doesn't go?
No, I think it'll be Cassie.
Because at this point, there's no, you know, nobody gets saved in the first 2 weeks. If you're up, somebody's got to go home. And I think based on the two of those, they probably will send Cassie home. I haven't seen what kind of deals anybody is cutting, but you just, like we talked about last week, when you have the person who is not voted out, who is not evicted, is safe for the next couple of weeks, but can't be head of household, there's no real incentive on bribery. You know, you can't go, well, if we keep you, you won't put us up, because they can't put you up for the next 3 weeks, I guess. So now it's just, who do I think could harm me most in this game? And I think Cassie probably does go home.
Yeah, which is kind of a shame. I mean, I don't really see anything that objectionable about her. I mean,
either one of them. I mean, I don't know either one of them well enough to say who's the best game player, who could help or harm the other contestants most. We're still just very early on in the show. And so, you know, Rachel's plan to vote out the pretty one apparently is working.
You know who surprised me the most? Danielle.
She's starting to play, isn't she?
She really is. I mean, the whole, you know, the show tonight, of course, was all, you know, like her little diary room sessions talking about Dominic.
Right.
And how that she wants to use him in the game. And she wanted Dominic to stay, but she couldn't go against her alliance. So she kind of, you know, puts a little bug in dumbass Rachel's ear about, and she even said, you know, that she doesn't have anything against Cassie, but if Rachel wants Cassie to go, then that's kind of her way of being like, oh yeah, I'm on your side. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, she's looking out for herself.
She didn't do much the first year that she was there when she came in second, but you got to remember, Evil Dick's seed runs deep and it is manipulative. So I thought it was funny that she basically told him, hey, look, you can't trust anybody in the Big Brother house. And then she did that thing that girls do where they just sort of hit you and then you forget what they said, even though it was important. And later on, you're going to go, ah, damn it, she told me that. I wasn't listening. So and Danielle and Dominic, I don't think anybody sees that one coming. You know?
Well, you know, Dominic apparently told people that if he wins out of household, he's going to put Jeff and Jordan up. And so Danielle kind of called him out on that. And first he said he didn't say it. And then she was like, I heard you said it to them. And then finally he admits that he did say it. And so she's like, basically, I've aligned myself with an imbecile. You know, I mean, she tells him that. And he thinks she's like joking and everything. But she's serious, you know. So
she's seen it in work before. She's, you know, she wasn't a great player, but she still made it all the way to second.
So I've decided she might be the Ryan O'Reilly of the Big Brother house. She's getting other people to do her dirty work for her.
The person who never does anything, but always makes things happen.
Always manipulating people to do, you know, his dirty work. So, Ryan O'Reilly, for those of you that don't know, but he was a character on Oz, which was a prison show. Mayhem.
Yes, played by the guy who plays Mayhem in the State Farm ads now, whose name is...
Dean Winters.
Yes, Dean Winters. He was also in Rescue Me. He's a great actor. He always plays a guy with something else going on. You know, he always plays a guy with something. And he was hilarious on 30 Rock, too, as the pager king of New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Liz's God, that boyfriend. Hey, that dummy. Was funny. Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
He was actually on, what was I going to say? He was on Law and Order for a short period of time.
Never watched it.
Law and Order SVU.
Hearsay. I'll allow it. I'm sorry. Objection. I've been watching, Charlie on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia do lawyerings for the last couple of days. So.
Marshall lawyered.
That show warps me because, quick story, I'm a huge Elmore Leonard fan. I just got through reading Get Shorty, finally. I'm a little behind the times.
And finally watched the movie.
Yeah, and you had recorded the movie, or you had taped the movie, as I still like to say at times. And I didn't want to watch the movie until I had finished with the book because, you know,
good idea.
Such a great writer. And it's over, so I finish reading the book and then we watch the movie. And the entire time I'm reading the book, you know, you cast the movie in your head. And I was thinking that the Michael character, the hot movie actor that they need to bring in to make this movie work. I was thinking, you know, they kept talking about how he's too short for the role. I was thinking Tom Cruise, somebody like that. And then I get to it, and it's Danny DeVito. And my only experience with Danny DeVito in the last 4 years has been watching him be absolutely disgusting every week on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know, naked and sweaty and cutting his way out of a leather couch and they're in the middle of a party.
Wasn't he the one pooping in the bed?
He pooped the bed, yes. You know, banging his girlfriend Artemis in the dumpster behind the Wendy's. Remember that? She had that thing she did with the bun. Yeah. And so to see him as, you know, 16 years ago, but still very much Danny DeVito as the, like, the it guy in Hollywood, to me that was hilarious. I could not get around that. And in terms of actors from Sunny who actually end things, Danny DeVito is really the only one who can. Seeing Dennis in The Strangers, he was in it for like all of like 6 seconds.
Well, Charlie's in Horrible Bosses.
He is. Haven't seen that yet.
I've heard really good things about it. I've heard it's pretty hilarious.
It looks like somebody watched a double feature of Office Space and Throw Mama from the Train and went, you know what? I got a great idea for a mashup.
Crisscross.
Anyway, what were we saying?
I want to go see Horrible Bosses.
I would see Horrible Bosses. I have not yet. Our last movies, Zookeeper and Super 8, both of which I gave about 4 out of 10. The Super 8 was okay when I watched it, but the longer I thought about it later, the worse I felt about it.
I wasn't crazy about it.
It was okay while we were watching it because you were caught up in it, and then as soon as it's over, you go, wait, that didn't make any sense. What?
Well, first of all, and those of you that follow me on Facebook already know this, that my new thing is for us to go to the drive-in movies.
Yes.
Used to do that when I was a kid. My dad would like smuggle my brothers under the seat.
Your two favorite things to do right now are go to the drive-in movie theater and complain about how hot it is in Texas. I don't know why you do the two of those things at the same time. Because
the first time we went to the drive-in, it wasn't that hot. Do you remember? I mean, it really wasn't.
Was that when we saw Thor?
That's when we saw Thor.
I really would have rather had that one play all the way after sundown, because that first big fight scene on the Frost Giant planet,
it was a little dark.
It was really
dark.
And
it wasn't dark enough outside. Yes. So anyway, we'd actually gone to Dallas, and we were on our way back, and I knew we were going to be passing the drive-in theater, and it was probably about 45 minutes to an hour before the movie was going to start, and I didn't really realize we were as close to the theater as we were, but I was like, let's go to the movies. Yeah, and so I look it up on my iPhone to see what's playing, and this theater, actually, they start a new movie pretty much every week, so it was going to be Zookeeper and Super 8. I'd kind of wanted to see Super 8 at the theater. Zookeeper, I probably wouldn't have gone to see in the theater, but I do love Kevin James.
You do, and this is every Kevin James movie.
Yes.
He's fat and clumsy, and there are your jokes.
Okay.
It's basically Hitch with anthropomorphic animals standing in for Will Smith.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Little matchmakers giving him little
every
tips.
Movie Kevin James is, he's fat and he's clumsy and somebody's got to help him get laid. It's a theme.
Anyway.
And it was funny. There were funny parts. I'll give you that.
So we went, and it was hotter than hell.
Right.
There were a lot of people that sat there with their cars running, with their air conditioners running the whole time, but we didn't do that. Mm. Maybe we should have, holding bottles of water up to our necks because we were burning up. But the Super 8 movie, it wasn't bad. I mean, the last half of it, though, I really couldn't enjoy because some crazy person beside of us accused us of hitting their car with our door.
And if you happen to be one of the people listening to this podcast, fuck you. No, I didn't.
So, I mean, and the woman was a real bitch. She was really bitchy about it.
You just don't run into the highest class of people hanging out at a drive-in movie theater in, like, rural East Texas. The movie theater basically is for people who want to watch movies while they smoke. And while their kids play on the big dirt pile at the front of the theater.
Now, when I was a kid, up at the front of the drive-in theater, they had like a big playground area or whatever, swings.
Everybody's
exactly.
Seen those. Yeah.
This one just has a big pile of dirt.
Literally. It's like they brought a dump truck in and went, dropped it off. Anything else? Nope, that's it. Just leave it there. That'll be fine.
But when you get there, of course, everybody in Texas owns a truck anyway. So there's lots of trucks all backed in, you know, people sitting out in their chairs and stuff. But they play really, really loud music, oldies music and all this stuff. So Reed and I are sitting there the other day. And, you know, like I said, we were like 45 minutes early for this movie. And we look over and we see this kid, like, he's out in the middle of the road, like, you know, between the aisles where people park, dancing. Now, not that it's odd to see somebody dancing, but this kid really could dance.
How old do you think he was? Like 10, maybe?
No, I don't even think he was that old. He looked like he maybe was 8.
And he didn't get out there and just like throw his body around. He had moves. He had like been picking stuff out of YouTube for 2 weeks.
We were just like stunned. And actually, I wanted to get out my iPhone and start recording, but I was afraid that his parents might object to that.
Right. They could kill you and eat you at that place legally. So I was going to film it and figure I'd get the kid on Tosh. You know.
Oh, I could totally see that kid on Tosh or Ellen. Ellen would have him on.
None of these things are really relevant
to Big Brother.
This is why we need to go back to the other podcast. Like the midweek podcast.
You brought something up about movies. I don't know how we got to this.
This is all my equipment. Of course I can. This is what I do for a living. I have to talk. Don't I blather enough?
You do talk a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Who's going home this week? Cassie or Shelly Tarp?
I think it's going to be Cassie, but I kind of wish it was Shelly. I mean, I don't have anything against Shelly.
I have no idea. Cassie is more attractive. Maybe it would be better to keep her for ratings. I don't know.
Well, I think it'd be better to keep her just because Rachel doesn't like her. Make things interesting.
See, you can't play.
If you get rid of all the conflict in the house, you end up with something.
Oh, didn't
something
that happen last year?
Yeah, didn't they get along too well or something?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah, well, because we had the Brigade. You know, the Meow Meow was running things last year with the Brigade. And it really was
boring.
Oh, that's
right.
The
like the last.
They voted all the conflict out. And for the last, about halfway during the show, everything was over. And it was really boring from that point.
It was. It was really boring. That happened this year on The Apprentice, too. Remember, like, the men's team was
when
like,
they got rid of insane Gary Busey. And then when
NeNe left.
When NeNe left, and then they fired Star Jones that same week, because who cares? If you don't have one, you don't need the other. Because they were going to throw down. They were going to the finals. And then NeNe just punks out and walks off the set. And they got to. Then they got to give it to somebody that actually deserves it instead of just somebody who would make for the biggest noise. Yeah. I digress. Anyway, I think Cassie goes home because at this point you just pick whoever you think could do better in the game. Cassie looks like she would do better. She seems to play the game a little bit better than Shelly the Tarp. So probably I think she goes home.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I was probably right the first week, so that's all I'm saying. Okay. All right. This is our Big Brother podcast. We'll be back. We'll watch the live show Thursday. Be back again next Wednesday. And we have lots of random funny things that have happened to us. We need to get back to our regular podcast, don't you think?
You're just too lazy to do it.
What?
I mention things like that all the time. You're like,
Do you write them down? You know how I need you to write things down?
I have lots of things written down.
Name them.
Obviously, we don't really need anything written down because we just like ramble on about all kinds of crap anyway.
Okay, I do this for a living. Rambling on is not always good. I told the story today about having to get the hair straightener when I was a kid on the air. I really didn't mean to do that. Good Lord, that's not going to help my ratings. Seriously.
It did make for some funny pictures.
Yeah.
I think I've got that posted on my Facebook.
See?
80s read.
Yeah. I'm going to kick you right in the shins when this is over.
It's cute. So,
yeah. All right. There's your Big Brother podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with more. Until then, for Kimberly Kerr, I'm Reed Kerr, and thanks for listening.